And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program for this Friday, Good Friday. And boy, it kind of looks like it's going to storm pretty soon, doesn't it? Although it's looked rather threatening for most of the morning. We had some sunshine. You had to be up at the crack of dawn. Sunrise is just after 6:30 these days. Of course, it's getting earlier and earlier as we move deeper into the spring. But we actually had some sunshine for a few minutes right after daybreak. And then the sun went behind the clouds, and that's it for old Saul. Well, keep your umbrella handy. It is warmer than the weather folks thought it was going to be. And we're already into the low 70s. And when the rain comes, I don't know whether we'll stay there or not. We have coming up later on the program today, we're going to be talking with some CB Rangers here in Butler. It's a wonderful local group that provides traffic control and so on for a lot of different groups and a lot of different events. We'll talk about their recruitment efforts. Paul Wolf and some other CB Rangers are scheduled to visit with us. Our first guest, however, here in the studio with us is Amy Metrick. Amy, good to see you. Nice to have you back with us.
Hi there. Thanks for having me again.
Amy is the coordinator of 4-H for Butler County through Penn State Extension.
Right? That's correct, yes.
And 4-H is one of a number of groups that are joining together to sponsor a career fair. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so our career fair that we have is partnering with 4-H, Connecting to Tomorrow, which is a youth mentoring program, Justice Youth Works, which is the same thing, a mentoring program of types, Stand Tall, which is in the school, which does helps kids and encourages them to remain drug-free, and then Adagio Health, which is a similar, you know, education in the drug and alcohol.
When is this happening?
So the career fair is happening April 23rd. It's from 6 to 8 p.m., and it'll be at St. Andrew Catholic Church, just on Route 8 North, just north of the Clearview Mall.
Oh, my gosh, that's next Tuesday, isn't it?
It is next Tuesday,
yeah,
yes.
It's around the corner. Do young people have to register in advance for this?
Not for this one. This one is open to the public. It is for grades 7th through 12th. So if you have a kid that falls in that age range, that grade range, we'd be more than welcome to have them.
Now, we don't ordinarily hear about a career fair for students, 7th through 12th grade. So what's the deal here? This helps students find part-time jobs? Or
that's part of it, yes. Some of them will be hiring right on site, but it's also a way for kids just to get out there and see what there is to do once they graduate high school and see if there's something they can go into a career field.
Mm-hmm. You have potential employers lined up, I guess, are going to have representatives there?
Yeah, right now we have just about 30 that will be there, all different kinds. We have someone from like a manufacturing. We have the gas and oil company. We have someone there for vet science. We have agriculture, accounting, education, computers, drones, photography, HVAC, the health field. So there is going to be a variety of different employers there, people who have been in that job for a while and can help kids answer questions and anything like that.
Mm-hmm. So this is partly to help somebody find a part-time job maybe, but partly also for career advice, for the younger kids there that might be just beginning to explore what they want to do with their lives after high school.
Yeah, the goal is just to show the kids what's out there, things they may not have thought about. You know, HVAC, maybe they don't know that's heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, and maybe they like doing that kind of stuff, and they just didn't realize that was what it was called. So, you know, to kind of help those kids find the path that they can continue on or start on once they have graduated.
It's also an area that I've read on the Wire stories, and there's a lot of demand for HVAC employees.
Absolutely.
Know what they're doing there. So is there any cost for this?
There is not. There's no cost. It's like I said, it's open to the public. The kids can just show up between that time frame of 6 to 8 p.m., walk around, talk to some people. We will have a spot where we will have a few adults there that'll have some like tips with interviews and little activities like that to help those kids become better when it comes to those type of requirements for a job.
That's something that we don't think of. I would love to have had that when I was that age, the opportunity to learn about how to interview, for example.
Yeah, practice is always good.
Yeah.
The interviews aren't always the same, and it's good to have that first jitters out of the way. Say, I've done this before.
This all takes place at St. Andrew Church Hall, which is just north of Butler, North Main Street Extension, Route 8 North. Most people know it by. And it's probably, what, I don't know, half a mile north of Clearview Mall, something like that.
Yep, I would say.
If you're going north and you get to the intersection of Route 8 and Mercer Road, you have gone too far. But if you're traveling north, it would be on the left-hand side of the road. The church sits back a ways from
Correct.
The road.
Correct.
And the hall, I've been in that hall. It's right next to the church. Pretty big hall, actually.
It is.
So these companies, these representatives will like have a table or something set up and you go around.
Yep, that's correct. Each business will have a table there. They'll have information about their business in particular, and then they'll be able to help the kids answer questions. You know, what do you need to do for this job? Do you need to go to college for this job? Is this a job that you can start just right out of high school, go straight into the work field, or do you have to go and get that education before you become an employee in that field?
How often does this career fair for young people occur?
So this is our second one. We do it every other year. So we're excited to see what happens, and hopefully we get some kiddos there.
Were you on board with 4-H when the previous one? No, that was before your time.
That was before my time, yes. That was right before my time. The next month I was hired. So, yes, I'm excited to see it for the first time, see what it's like, and see what the kids think.
I would imagine that boys and girls attend, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yep. Any youth that's in that 7th to 12th grade range is more than welcome to come.
Why is 4-H involved with this?
So we're all about leadership skills and making kids become better. Our motto is to make the best better. And what way to make yourself better than to go out there and see what you can do in the future?
Mm-hmm. We are getting close to the end of the school year now. In fact, I had some students from Butler County Community College here in the studio yesterday, and they're within a couple of weeks of the end of their school year. Colleges usually end these days in early to mid-May, but high schools will be just around the corner.
Exactly.
Yeah. So where do we stand in terms of the 4-H year?
We are gearing up. We're just getting into our busy season. In May, we have something 4-H related every weekend. We have our tag pickup for our animals that the kids will show on the first weekend. Then we have a couple events that we're part of. And then middle of June, we have 4-H camp. End of June, we have the start of the Butler Fair. Then we have some district shows in July, and then the Butler Farm Show happens in August.
I must tell you that I've not heard of 4-H camp. What's that all about?
So 4-H members have the opportunity to go to a residential camp. For us, our camp is held at Camp Crestfield in Slippery Rock. Kids who are between the ages of 8 to 14 are eligible to be campers. Kids who are between the ages of 15 and 18 are eligible to be counselors. And our counselors go through a interview, a screening process, and we select counselors that way.
And this is Camp Crestfield, did you say?
Yep, it's at Camp Crestfield.
Not familiar with that.
Yeah, it's in Slippery Rock on Taggart Road. So for us, it's nice and close, but this camp encompasses the whole Northwest Pennsylvania. So from Butler to Erie County, we'll have kids participating.
Have you been to this before?
I have. This will be my second year of camp. Mm-hmm. So it's fun. The kids really enjoy it. They love it. They love sleeping in the cabins and doing the workshops and swimming in the pool, and there's a rock wall, and so they really enjoy their time there.
What is it, a week generally? Or?
It is 4 days, 3 nights.
Okay.
So our camp is going from June 10th to the 14th, Monday to a Thursday, and our campers will come in mid-afternoon, Monday, and they'll leave mid-afternoon Thursday.
I know there are a whole bunch of 4-H clubs here in Butler, 20-some, I believe.
Yes,
right?
We're pushing 30 now. We have a few more new ones coming. We hired another educator in September of last year, Penny Ward, and she's handling a lot of the STEM and that kind of science and engineering, that aspect, and I'm handling all of our livestock and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4-H these days is not anything like it was a couple of generations ago.
No, it's not. Nope, we have all kinds of stuff, from the animal projects to robotics. We have sewing, cooking. We have a shooting sports club. So we have a variety of different projects that kids are eligible to take if you're between the ages of 8 to 18.
There are a lot of kids home from school today because it's Good Friday. They might be listening. If they're thinking about 4-H or even want to explore more information about 4-H, is there some place where they can go where there's a complete listing of all the clubs?
Yeah, there is our website. If you simply Google PA 4-H Butler County, you'll find our county page. Or you can go to extension.psu.edu/Butler, and that'll get you to the Butler's general page. There you'll see all of our clubs, and then you can contact us. Our phone number is 724-287-4761, and we'll be able to get you in touch with those clubs and get you to a meeting.
Yeah, that's the Penn State extension number,
correct,
by the way. You can look that up under Penn State in the phone book if you forget. Yeah, there are a lot of different varieties of clubs now, even robotics and stuff like that. STEM, science, technology, something in math. Engineering. Science, technology, engineering, and math. So are they? There's a club that actually builds robots and stuff?
Yes, we have a robotics club, and what they do is they literally build the robot from the ground up. Our robots they're little. They're probably 6 inches by 8 inches or so, give or take. And the kids program them then. They make them turn left, turn right, do a circle, you know, turn 180 degrees. So, and then they go to competitions and they compete, and that's what their project's about.
Mm-hmm. So the summertime really is, I mean, 4-H'ers are busy all year long, but it really kind of comes to a peak in the summer because that's when, especially from the animal side of it, because that's when you show animals, right?
Correct. Our two big things are the Butler Fair and the Butler Farm Show. So the Butler Fair is held that first week of July, and we run a petting zoo there. So each club has a shift at the petting zoo that they're required to participate in. Their jobs are to open gates, talk to the public, let them in. The kiddos can pet the animals, answer questions, our kids do. So it's a good thing for our kids to hone in on those skills of, you know, talking. Sometimes that's hard for some kids.
There was a petting zoo at the Butler Farm Show. I'm not sure whether it was this year or last year. I was drawn to it because they had two alpacas there.
Yep, the fair, yes. There is an alpaca club in our county, and while they are doing their shift, they bring up their alpacas for the public to see.
Well, that was the closest I'd ever been to an alpaca.
They're pretty soft.
Yeah.
They're pretty awesome.
Yeah, they're unusual-looking animals.
Yeah.
So almost look like, you know, an overgrown dog.
Yes.
Particularly a big breed of dog.
Yes. The alpacas this year, actually something new at both the fair and the farm show. We are going to have an alpaca class. The kids are going to show their animals, show off their alpacas, just like we do with the cows and the pigs and the chickens and all that. So this year, new this year at both the fair and the farm show, there's going to be an alpaca show.
And they have ears like goats, as I remember, too.
They do. They do have tiny ears.
Yeah. Wow. Alpaca club, did you know that, folks? No. I didn't either. Of course, I didn't know there was 4-H camp either. The kids from all the different camps, they're able to go with that, no matter whether they're, you know, in the animal end of it or in the robotic end of it?
Yep, doesn't matter. We'll take you all. So, yep, you can go to camp. You can participate in the petting zoo. So there's something for everybody.
Too late to sign up for 4-H camp?
For 4-H camp, kind of. You have to be a 4-H member in one of the Northwest counties. So, I mean, if you're not in Butler County, there's 4-H in all 67 counties in Pennsylvania. So you're able to join in your local county if you so choose. But to go to camp, you have to be a 4-H member, at least for our Northwest camp.
Mm-hmm.
But for the 4-H enrollment deadline is June 1. So there's still got a month here that we can find you a club and get you started.
So every county has 4-H now?
That is correct.
Are they all under the umbrella of the university nowadays?
Yep. Everything is under Penn State. The College of Ag is our umbrella.
And why is that so important?
So Penn State is our land-grant institute, and through that, there is the Smith-Lever Act was signed way back when, and that created Extension, and Extension became part of Penn State because it was our land grant, and that is how we came to be. So 4-H was part of Extension. Extension became part of land grant universities, and that's our connection to Penn State.
Actually, there's actually a federal connection.
There is.
The federal law was passed, and then every state had to designate a land grant university.
Mm-hmm, that is correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, Penn State is ours. The only other one I know for sure is in Michigan. I know Michigan State is the land grant university in Michigan. I read that somewhere. I have no idea why. The career fair for young people ages 7 to 12 set for April 23rd, which is Tuesday of next week. If you've lost track of the dates, and it's easy to do when you're getting ready for a holiday weekend, you know, it's next Tuesday. And the hours again for that, Amy?
Yep, the hours for that is 6 to 8 p.m. for youth that are in grades 7 through 12.
You are a great person to be coordinating 4-H here in Butler County, because not only you yourself, but your whole family. I mean, you've got 4-H in your blood, don't you?
I sure do, yes. It goes back to my grandmother. She was in 4-H. She had a closet organizing project that she participated in.
I hope she took notes. I could use that.
She actually got to go on the local TV channel, and it was broadcast. So she's pretty excited about that and likes to tell us about that. But my whole family's involved. My dad's a leader. My sister and I were both in 4-H. I have multiple cousins and whatnot. We were all in 4-H, so it's definitely a family affair for us.
Speaking of your dad, and Amy and I were chatting a little bit before we went on the air here today, you mentioned that at your farm you've already got sweet corn planted.
We do.
It's the middle of April, for goodness sake.
I know. We've had a nice spring, so we got sweet corn in, peas, spinach, greenhouses up and running, so spring's here.
Are you taking a chance when you plant sweet corn this early?
We are, but we're hoping we don't get any bitter cold weather before it starts to germinate and come out of the ground.
Well, that means you could have fresh sweet corn, local sweet corn from the Metric Farm.
Early July.
Yeah, pretty soon. A lot earlier than one would expect. Huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, good luck on that.
Thank you.
All the rest of your crops. It has been a beautiful spring for farmers.
We
haven't had a nice one for a while, and we're keeping our fingers crossed, because last year, once it started to rain, it never stopped through the rest of the spring, through the summer, through the fall, even into the winter. So we're keeping our fingers crossed, but so far, so good.
Yep, it's worked out well.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. Well, thanks for stopping by. I think we've covered the bases here, have we not?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Once again, career fair for young people. And it's grades what again, Amy?
Grades 7 through 12th, and it's April 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. at St. Andrew Catholic Church Hall on Route 8 North, just north of the Clearview Mall, about a half mile.
And it's free.
And it's free.
Yeah. Amy, have a good holiday weekend.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, nice to have you here today. Good to see you.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. When we come back here on the It's Your Turn program, we're going to be chatting a little bit about toxic family relationships. Sherry Campbell will be joining us, and she came from a family with some very toxic relationships. And she argues that sometimes, in these very serious cases, the best thing you can do is cut all ties altogether, which seems kind of harsh to me, but that's what she contends. So we'll talk to her about that. Dr. Sherry Campbell will be with us in just a moment or so, actually, here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR. One of our sponsors on the program today is Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They're located in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. It's right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants there on Newcastle Road in Butler. Okay, you know where we're at? Right behind King's and Villa Grande. They're open Monday through Friday. You can call for more information about their services. They package your items for shipping. And this is neat. It's really convenient. You just take anything you need to ship up there, and they'll wrap it up. You know, they've got the boxes, the bubble wrap, the bubble envelopes, the mailing tape, the labels, all of that. You can ship any way you want. U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, your choice. But they'll handle it for you. Very convenient, very affordable, too. They also offer a copying service, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary. Open Monday through Friday. Call Gone Postal Butler at 724-841-0044. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Coming up on It's Your Turn, the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR Listeners, I'm Dave Malarkey. Our guest joins us by telephone. She's Dr. Sherry Campbell, author of But It's Your Family, Cutting Ties with Toxic Family Members and Loving Yourself in the Aftermath. Let's talk about toxic family members. First of all, Dr. Sherry Campbell, what do you mean by that? Who are toxic family members?
Toxic family members are those people in our family that are manipulating. We're not feeling loved. We're feeling guilted. We're feeling like we're always wrong. We question our worth. We have a lot of anxiety and uncertainty around them, and that's how they like it.
What type of behavior might toxic family members exhibit?
Well, there's quite a few traits of toxic people. The number one thing is they're all very selfish, and they don't admit wrong. They tend to twist stories, rewrite history. They kind of love when we're down. They're not real happy when we're up. And there's a lot of passive-aggressive stuff that they do that we can't really call, poor tones of voice, looks of disgust. You know, so they're backstabbing. We never really know where we stand with a toxic person. It's very anxiety, provoking. They're just very invalidating of us.
Is it children who are most vulnerable to this, Dr. Campbell?
Absolutely, because children are so easy to manipulate. You know, other adults may be a little more resilient, but when you're raised in a toxic family, you really don't know any different, and children really need their parents. And so they need who they have, and they develop the coping skills that they need to survive under toxic parents.
You had some experience yourself with this?
Absolutely. I was raised in a toxic family and found the literature sort of validating to my experience, but still wanting me to stay tied to this toxic system. And I just don't believe that we can heal in an environment that's poisoning us.
You have a daughter of your own now. You're trying to make sure this doesn't happen to her.
Yes, the abuse has stopped with me. And that gives her a chance at life that won't be as suffering as mine. And she already has a self-worth in her that I had never had.
The subtitle of your book, Cutting Ties with Toxic Family Members, that's pretty tough. Cutting ties altogether, don't you think?
Well, it took me 45 years, so if that tells you anything, yeah, it's very, very tough. I tried everything other than that, but cutting ties really wasn't a choice. It was I either stayed in a burning building or I got out. It just got so bad that there really wasn't a choice. It wasn't like I sat down and had a talk, wrote a letter. I'd already tried all that stuff to try to mend the relationship earlier. And so it got to a point where they walked me to that door, they shut it, and I just stopped mending fences.
What about forgiveness, though? I mean, is it sometimes just impossible to do that?
I think that acceptance is probably a better word than forgiveness in this situation. You need to accept your toxic family members for exactly who they are, knowing that forgiveness does not necessarily mean reconciliation.
Is this sometimes passed on from generation to generation? In other words, if a child is raised in a toxic home, they have to be cautious of that with their kids too?
100%, and that's why I wrote the book, is that if you can't save the dysfunction in the current family, you can certainly stop the abuse yourself and give the generations below you and yourself a shot at having something healthy.
We're talking with Dr. Sherry Campbell, author of But It's Your Family, Cutting Ties with Toxic Family Members. Well, what's the difference between a truly toxic family member and just a flawed parent?
Well, there's a big difference between flawed and toxic. I mean, we all have our issues. We're none of us are perfect. But a toxic person will never admit wrong. They will constantly blame. They won't. There's no humility. They're above reproach. Whereas a healthy person will admit when they're wrong. They'll humble themselves to that, and they will do what they can to try and change the behaviors that somebody is bringing to their attention. And a toxic person just will not do that.
How might a toxic mother differ from a toxic father?
A toxic mother is a little more passive-aggressive rather than overtly tyrannical, if we're going to go kind of the canned view. Not that there aren't physically abusive or verbally abusive mothers out there. There certainly are. But on the whole, women are a little bit more covert as abusers than a father would be.
You talk in your book that toxic family abuse is always twofold, a couple of different layers. Can you expand on that a little bit for our listeners?
So sure. We have the abuse that's going on in the family, and then when we try and express that abuse to people outside of us that it's happening, they will minimize that and say, oh, but it's your family. You know, she loves you or your father loves you. They must not have meant it like that. So we're not believed. There's no scar. There's been no physical evidence of, like, being raped, molested that we can draw on, but yet our abuse is just as bad, if not worse, because it's invisible and people won't believe us. So we have the abuse in the family, that's one layer, and then we have the people who don't believe us, and that's the second layer.
Does this sometimes happen to several kids in the family? I don't know whether you had any siblings or not, but is it sometimes just toxic for one child as opposed to others?
Well, I do have a sibling, and he was the golden child, and I would be the scapegoat in that dynamic. I think it was equally as toxic to him, but that he was so elevated and I was disparaged just made our experience of it different. And the scapegoat at the end of the day ends up being healthier than the golden child because they have the courage to question the system and get out where the golden child does not.
Why is it so difficult many times for the victim of a toxic family upbringing to love themselves?
Because they were never taught love. You know, they were taught to disparage themselves, and we model what we see. We are born with a very blank brain, and we record what's going on, and we learn to treat ourselves the way that our toxic parents treated us. And so we end up, you know, really feeling that we're a limited, sort of very flawed person, and it takes a lot of hard work to get out from under those limiting beliefs.
When did you come to the realization that you had been raised in a toxic household? Did that come to you gradually as you grew older?
Yes, very gradual. I mean, I knew something was wrong. Both my parents were married, you know, multiple times, four times each. So I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know any different, you know, because that was a family I grew up in. But really having my own kids, my own daughter, actually was really the start of realizing how toxic I was raised. But it was gradual.
Even though children are most vulnerable, I would imagine that even as young adults or even older adults, you can still be the victim of toxic family members.
Absolutely, you can. I mean, it took me until I was 45 to actually walk away. And the manipulation and the abuse was so bad that for me there just wasn't any other choice. And so it took years and years of auditioning for them to think I was good enough and trying so hard to get into their good graces, and it just was never, it was like chasing a carrot.
You say that some abusive family members employ a tactic that you refer to as hoovering. Hoovering. What do you mean by that, Dr. Sherry Campbell?
So there's four stages of abuse. You're idealized, then you're devalued, then you're discarded, and then hoovered. And like the vacuum cleaner, the Hoover vacuum cleaner, they suck you back in. And so abuse does not work without intermittent kindness. And it's those doses of hoovering or intermittent kindness that get us really in hope that our family members maybe have finally changed. And so they idealize you for a second, and then you fall down that ladder of being discarded and devalued and sucked back in, and it's a very painful process.
Do you talk about how you can finally heal if you experienced a situation like this?
Absolutely. I think healing starts with boundaries. You have to get what's bad out so that you can start nurturing what's good and attract more good into your life. And self-love, self-care, getting into treatment, developing a supportive network, all of those things are hugely important when you're going to recover from this type of abuse.
Speaking about denial, do you think this situation is more common in American society than we'd like to believe?
More common right now than ever. We tend to have a pretty narcissistic society at this point. There's a lot of toxic adult children that are going to turn into toxic parents. So it's pretty rampant right now, which is a good timing for the book, and the book is a number one new release.
When you talk about cutting ties, you talk about no contact, and that's total, no contact whatsoever?
Not whatsoever. Yep, some of us have to get to that place where it's no contact. Low contact and cordial contact are other options I discuss in the book. Unfortunately, for many of us, it's the only way out is to be no contact, because these types of parents are never not manipulating.
Title of the book, listeners, But It's Your Family, Cutting Ties with Toxic Family Members and Loving Yourself in the Aftermath. The author is Dr. Sherry Campbell. She's been our guest here on It's Your Turn.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Welcome back, and we welcome three members of the CB Rangers in Butler here in the studio today. Let's say hello. Just go around the table here. Joe Soloski is here. Joe, good to see you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Also, Paul Wolf. Paul, good to see you again.
Thanks, Dave. It's nice to be here.
And Jerry Smith back with us as well. Jerry, good to see you.
Thank you.
We want to talk about the CB Rangers, and specifically Paul Wolf, about recruitment efforts, because you're involved in a recruitment campaign right now, right?
Yeah, Dave, every year we appreciate you letting us come on, just to try to, you know, to grow the club a little bit more, and hopefully more people get more active and, you know, want to help the city out.
Mm-hmm. There will be many listeners who know of the CB Rangers. I hope there are many who are grateful for your work, but I'm sure there are some who don't know what we're talking about here, Paul. What do the CB Rangers do?
A multiple of items, mostly any events that's down in the city of Butler. We help the city police with traffic control.
Mm-hmm. I've seen CB Ranger volunteers at many intersections whenever there's a major event downtown or a parade even, right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also help with parking. Do you still do that in with some events?
Yeah, some of the events... like Unionville Fire Hall, they have their Sportsman's Night. We go out and help them with parking. We used to do the Jeep Festival out at Cooper's, but it became too much for us. We prefer to stay in the town. Friday nights, of course, the Jeeps come in, and you know, mm-hmm. we're there most of the night, and it was just pretty early to get enough people up there for Saturday morning.
I can understand that. Whenever they have the Jeeps downtown on Friday evening, that would be a very, very busy time for you.
It's very hectic.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit with Jerry Smith. Have you been a volunteer with the CB Rangers for a long time, Jerry?
I've been in there for 37 years.
Oh, my goodness gracious. They ought to give you a medal or something.
You would think so. But
a special armband that you could wear, huh?
Yes.
Excuse me, Dave. His name's Gary.
Oh, did I say Jerry?
You did.
Yeah. Oh, Gary, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Please forgive me.
I'm in Cold Wars.
Please forgive me. It's the end of a long day for me at this hour, so
I hear you.
I apologize, Gary.
That's all right.
When did the when were the CB Rangers formed? Anybody know that?
Right around 1962, 63.
Any idea how it got started? Obviously, you guys weren't involved then, but...
No, I was not even around to think about it. Well, I was, but I was too young. From what I understanding, there was a gentleman, Dick Vernon. He was actually one of our long members in the club that helped start it.
The late Dick Vernon. Yeah, he was a good man.
Yeah. Of course, you know, it was all with CB radios.
Mm-hmm.
And they just all got together and started talking and meeting places. And then it just developed into where, you know, they wanted to help the city out.
Do you still have a CB radio, Joe?
No, I don't.
That fad has kind of died out, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
There was a time in the, and I don't remember the exact time, late 60s, certainly in the 70s, where that was really a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could go into any of the stores, you know, Kmart, the late Kmart, or any of the discount department stores. They were all selling CBs.
Yes.
Everybody wanted to have a handle. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
What's your handle?
Yeah, that's
my handle was Scrub Bud.
What was that again, Gary?
My handle was Scrub Bud.
Scrub Bud.
Yeah.
I think that fad that swept the country really started with the long distance truckers, didn't it? For the most part,
I believe it did.
Yeah, and they, I don't know, maybe they still have them. And of course, that was before cell phones. So now you can, you know, get in touch with anybody with a cell phone. Before that, if you were in a vehicle, car or truck, you needed a CB. There was even a song. You remember that song? I can't remember the name.
C.W. McCall.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
Yeah. We got ourselves a convoy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually had to purchase. We went through the FCC and got our own licensing. Back in the day when it was CBs, it was just too hectic, and of course everybody could hear what you were saying, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very public, still is, I suppose. Do you use radios now, private radios? You have your own frequency?
We do, yes.
What about you, Joe? How long have you been volunteers with the CB radios?
Probably been 3-4 years now, or maybe longer.
How'd you get involved? Somebody you knew was in it, and you wanted to help out, or what?
I had a family member that was involved,
mm-hmm.
and went downtown one day and saw them out and about and thought, well, gee, I might be interested in this, and filled out an application and went on from there.
Is it all volunteer, Paul?
It is, yep. Actually, Joe's one of my better members. He shows up a lot and helps a lot. But, yeah, it's strictly all volunteer. Nobody gets paid. I think that's probably a lot of the problem. You know, people don't want to volunteer unless they get paid.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the reality of it is you get paid in more than a money sense. You know, just helping out the city, anybody in the county, you know, if we need to go do something, you know, they ought to feel good about helping them, you know, just for free.
Yeah. Do you, obviously you have some expenses, even though you're all volunteers. You have like an equipment trailer, a van or something, don't you?
Yes, we have both a trailer and a van. We have a few generators, a lot of traffic cones.
Mm-hmm.
I've
seen you unloading the traffic cones before a parade or something.
I think the
trailer and just get a bucket brigade going.
I think we might have more than the PennDOT does. But yeah, it's all done through donations.
Mm. Do some of the groups that you help out give you a donation once in a while?
They do, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, and
which
we appreciate
only right. Yeah. But you take donations elsewhere too, even from private individuals?
Yeah, if anybody would like to help, you know, send it to us, they can. No problem.
So how does someone become a CB Ranger, Paul Wolf?
A couple of various ways. If we're out and about, if they come up to us, we have a little application that they can fill out. Another way is we have a website, which is www.cbrangers.org. And, of course, we have the P.O. box, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how Joe got started.
Mm-hmm.
Went up and talked to somebody who was manning a barricade or something, I imagine, at a street corner, right?
Yes, yes.
Even directing traffic. I've seen some of your people directing traffic. Do you have men and women, Paul?
Yes, sir. We do have men and women. Actually, we have a couple of women that the one lady, her name's Betty. She's actually a school crossing guard.
Ah.
So she joined, and there's a few other women in the club that help out.
Well, Betty would certainly know how to direct traffic and stop yeah. people and let people go and all that sort of thing, huh?
Yeah, and you know, she can take all the cussing and swearing at her too.
Gary, when you go out to volunteer for an event or a parade or something, do you have a specific job that you do every time, or does it depend on who's there or what the you know, what the event is?
Anymore, if we have a function in the city here, I'm pretty well at the same spot every time.
And where's that?
And that's McCain and Jefferson.
You got that intersection down, huh?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, that's a busy one. That's
yeah, it is.
That's right by the new hotel, right? The
yeah.
Marriott Spring Hill Suites. Very busy intersection.
But it really helps out the club if we put the same person at the same intersection at every event.
You know what to expect, huh?
And
now, for most events, Jefferson Street would be barricaded right at that intersection.
Yes.
Which is bad enough. I'm sure you're getting some choice words from some people that aren't able to go down that street.
Yeah, a few times.
But secondarily, McCain Street is one of the main detours.
Yes, it is.
From Main Street, so that's a very busy intersection.
Yes, it is.
Do you ever have any close calls from people that are going too fast, or, you know?
Oh, yeah, we've had a few of them over the years.
Well, there's a new law in Pennsylvania, you know. I think it's called Steer Clear Law. Anybody familiar with that, Joe? You're shaking your head.
I know a little bit of it. I don't know a lot about it.
But. Yeah, you can be arrested for that if you don't leave enough space for either emergency vehicles or emergency personnel out on the roadway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good law because
yeah, it is.
We've had some tragedies that have occurred, you know. Too many of them, as a matter of fact. CB Rangers, they do terrific work here in our area. Do you have regular meetings, Paul, whenever you're not at an event or something?
Yeah, we usually have our meeting every fourth Sunday of the month.
Where do you meet?
Up at the 911 Center.
Okay.
They are gracious enough to let us use their conference room.
Well, by the same token, you help out the county a lot, too, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Just to touch on a little thing, when we do the detour in Butler, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but the big A-frame detour signs that the city has, they were actually donated by the club about 2 years ago.
Really?
Yes, sir.
You mean, are those like the horses, the sawhorses? Is that what you're talking about?
They're a metal A-frame, probably around 3 feet high, 2.5 feet wide, that has a real bright detour sign with arrows on them.
Oh, yes, I have seen those.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was thinking of the barricade. You're talking about the detour signs. Yeah, I have seen those. Very nice.
Yep.
Very nice.
So,
I've seen those on both Washington and McCain Streets, which are the major, whenever Main Street's blocked off for
correct.
Whatever's going on.
Right.
Jeep Festival or the Fall Festival or whatever, then the traffic, Main Street traffic, is detoured to those streets, which are both one way.
Right.
One direction, north on McCain, south on Washington. Yeah. Well, fortunately, we have those streets that are only a block off Main.
Yep.
We'll take a break. Talk a little bit more with our guests in just a moment or so. One of our sponsors on the program today is Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler, where the Easter sale is on. Folks, I want to tell you, spring weather is here, obviously, and we've had some really, really warm days thus far this spring. We're keeping our fingers crossed. We hope it doesn't turn nasty, but it's been great. Yesterday, my goodness, we had almost 80 degrees yesterday. 78 was the high. So they're ready for springtime footwear at Miller's Shoes, including all your famous brand athletic shoes for the whole family, men, women, teens, kids. They've got Nike at Miller's Shoes. They've got New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, ProPet, all those brands under one roof. Don't have to go to two or three different places. They also want to remind you that, first of all, Miller's Shoes is your local headquarters for SAS comfort shoes for men and women. Most comfortable shoes you'll ever slip on. But SAS also makes sandals. So if you're looking for a new pair of sandals, they come in a variety of styles and colors. And yes, they are just as comfortable as SAS comfort shoes. Much more, too. Always some shoes on sale on racks for easy browsing. Stop in. Say hi to Jimmy Chiprian and the rest of the Chiprian family. You'll get a big smile. Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Miller's Shoes, they've been there for more than 126 years.
Butler Health System is a top 100 hospital for getting Doug back to playing with his grandkids and managing his farm.
For ensuring that Craig made it to his daughter's college graduation.
For helping Ray travel to Europe to visit his family.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide nationally recognized care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
You've lost a loved one. You feel alone. You think that no one really understands just how you feel, that it affects everything in your life every single day. Well, Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler offers a unique, sensitive program called Someone's Caring. It's carefully designed to help ease your pain and helps fill in the gaps when you feel so lonely. Men and women are invited to attend. Yes, more men are beginning to realize it's okay to express their feelings in a small group setting. They're finding it really helps. Over the last 20 years, we've developed a program that has helped so many people work through their grief. We offer five programs, a grief support group for those who have lost a loved one, for survivors of a suicide, for bereaved parents, and for those who have lost a pet, and individual sessions. Our own trained bereavement specialist, Robin S. Miller, personally conducts the sessions. Call us at Thompson Miller, 724-287-3706, 287-3706. We can help. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Talking with three members of the CB Rangers here in Butler. With us in the studio, Gary Smith, Paul Wolf, and Joe Soloski. Gary said he's usually stationed at Jefferson and McCain. Joe, you used to have a spot, but you're kind of a rover now, right?
I guess you could call it that. I used to be down on the intersection of Washington and Maine, which can be very hectic at times if you're
yeah, that's another one. That's the other end of the main detour there. That could get pretty busy.
Yeah, you get a lot of people asking for directions, and I get a lot of that down there when I was, but yeah.
Paul, you and I were talking during the break there about, gosh, we wish we could encourage more people to volunteer, either for organizations like yours or for others. Volunteerism is down, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, the worst of it is, too, is nowadays, anybody that does want to join the club, they have to go through a background check. I hate to say it, there's people that do want to help, but... You know, if you do a background check and there's a little flaw, I just can't let them into the club for, you know, various reasons.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way it is in our society today. And anybody who's thinking about being a volunteer and you're worried about that, it's not a big deal. I went through it, and it's, you know, unless you have a very checkered past, it's no big deal. But you almost expect that these days. In many, many, many organizations. We have to today. Today's society's crazy. Look at that guy. Did you hear that yesterday in New York City that went into St. Patrick's Cathedral with 4 gallons of gasoline, lighter fluid, and lighters?
Yeah.
This the day after the fire at the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris? Goes into St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. They stopped him. They said, what the heck are you doing? And he claimed that he was taking a shortcut to a gas station because he was out of gas.
Yeah.
I'm just taking a shortcut through the cathedral here. Police checked his car, not out of gas.
Right.
I mean, what kind of a twisted mind would do that?
Somebody that needs help.
Yeah. Well, that's the society that we live in today. So, yes. And I can understand that. And don't forget now, men and women, most welcome to the CB Rangers, right?
Yeah, yes. And, you know, we'll also, if, you know, somebody comes in, trust me, they don't start out at a very bad intersection. We just try to slowly get them into the, you know, the easy stuff. And, you know, they might be at an intersection that's not real busy, but it always works up to the big point where the busy intersections, you actually got to control yourself. You know, you can't really have a short temper.
Yeah.
Like I says, everybody that I have out, if somebody comes up and starts yelling and screaming at them, I just tell them to look at them and say, you know, did I scream at you? And they actually sit and think about that, and then they understand it. You know, we didn't do anything wrong. You know, we're just here trying to help.
You have safety vests and stuff, you know, reflective clothing or something like that?
Yes, so we do have, they're like a lime green colored vest. Our name is on the back of them, and we also have a hat that matches.
Mm-hmm. And would most of the volunteers carry a radio then if they were assigned to different spots during an event?
They do, yes.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of expenses to cover there.
That's kind of one of the reasons Joe said he got pulled off of his corner. We got a golf cart that Jeff Rapp from Rapp's Bicycle Center, he basically got it, and we're, you know, it's tar use anytime we need it. I actually stored it at my house, but you know, I'm pretty much out running just to, if there is a problem, that, you know, a couple of us can get there and take care of the problem. Or more so if it's an all-day thing, you know, we put a cooler on there with water and stuff for the guys. And believe it or not, and the officers too, you know, we stop to make sure they don't need something.
Well, I know that I know a lot of police officers, county EMS officials, they really appreciate the work that you folks do.
Well, that's why we're here, to try to help.
And I hope everybody does. You can go up and talk to a CB Ranger at an event. You can... is there a form online if you are interested in joining? You can, like, download or something?
There is a form online, which it's just a basic form with your name, address, phone number, and then there's, like, a little segment, like, if you want to request something or any questions. And it goes to myself and my captain, Mike Ice Group.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of us will get a hold of them, and if they're interested, we'll try to get them to a meeting, let the other people meet them, and, you know, go from there.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine there's a sense of camaraderie among, especially some of you have been involved for a long time. Gary, you said 30-some years you've been a CB Ranger.
Yes.
Meet some new friends, huh?
That I have. Quite a few of them.
Are you busier in the warm weather months? I would imagine you are, and more outside events, huh?
June is going to be our starting of our bad time.
Mm-hmm.
Probably something every weekend in June.
Well, maybe you can get some new volunteers prior to that.
Yeah, and the dues aren't that much, Dave. They're $6 a year.
Oh, wow.
You know?
That's going to break you.
That's couch money, you know.
Some places where a cup of coffee costs that these days.
Sure.
Well, thanks, guys, for stopping in. We hope that we can get some more volunteers, people interested in volunteerism. I know some folks who, you know, they might like to volunteer, but they don't want to do busy work. They want to make sure that they, you know, they leave a mark, you know, that their volunteer time is really helping. And that's certainly the case with the CB Rangers, that's for sure. Paul Wolf, Gary Smith, Joe Solosky, CB Rangers all with us here today. Good to see you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you much, David.
Thank you for having
me. Good holiday weekend, too.
Yeah. You also.
We're going to be chatting here in just a moment or so with Bill Johnston Walsh. Do we have another break that we need to get in before that? Okay. We'll take a quick break, and we're going to be chatting with just a few minutes. We only have a short time with Bill Walsh. He's from AARP, and they're concerned about some funds for senior programs, doing some lobbying. So stick with us for that. And we'll be back to talk with Bill Walsh in just a moment. Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler, Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course, also emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available, also prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days is being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive. Listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, my name is Dave Malarkey. We're going to be chatting with Bill Johnston Walsh of AARP. Bill, nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today.
Thank you for inviting me to talk to your listeners.
What's your association with AARP? That's divided into regions across the country, is it not?
It is, yes. I am the state director here in Pennsylvania, and we have 1.8 million members here in the Commonwealth.
So what's the deal? Why are we talking to you today, Bill Johnston Walsh?
Well, AARP is very concerned. We've heard from all of our members about affordable health care, affordable prescription drugs. And we have 38 million members across the country. And what we're doing here in Pennsylvania is really focusing on educating our members as well as educating legislators on why affordable health drugs are so important to our members. We hear time after time there was a survey done by AARP just recently that 72% of likely voters 50 plus are concerned about the cost of their medications, and 40% of those 72% did not fill a prescription provided by their doctor because the cost was too high and they just weren't able to afford it. So we hear that over and over again. So we're going to be in Harrisburg walking the halls with over 200 of our members, talking to legislators, getting them to understand that prescription drug costs have to come down.
There's still a lot of confusion, is there not, Bill, about the so-called donut hole in terms of prescription drug costs if you're on Medicare?
Yeah, there is. There's the donut hole issue. There's a lot of issues with regards to individuals. You know, we're finding out that the average Medicare Part D enrollee takes over four medications a month. Two-thirds of seniors have two or more concurrent chronic illnesses. And really, the median income for a Medicare beneficiary is $26,000 a year. So you add all of those together, plus the high cost of drugs for Medicare recipients, and then not understanding the system as a whole. That is the concern that we have, that they're not going to be able to stay in their homes. You know, we hear over and over again they want to stay in their communities, they want to stay in their homes, but you add the high cost of prescription drugs onto top of utilities and taxes and mortgages, and even, paying for food. You know, our individuals that we hear from say that they have to choose some months between prescriptions, filling their prescriptions, or buying food because they can't afford both. And it's very upsetting to us, and we need to change the scenario both at the federal and the state level.
So what will you be lobbying the lawmakers about exactly, Bill?
So we're going to be talking to them about a few things. We've been in conversations with them. They say that this is a concern of them. They do hear from their constituents. We're going to be looking at how the state can bulk purchase their prescription drugs. Really getting all of the different programs that we have here in Pennsylvania and allowing them to buy as a bulk to get the prices down. We're going to be talking with the state attorney general about price gouging laws and how we can impact that in Pennsylvania. We're going to be looking at transparency laws. You know, what is behind the dramatic price increase in prescription drugs, and how can we let consumers know, either statewide or maybe county by county, about those prices and where they can go for affordable prescription drugs. And then the most important thing is really setting caps on out-of-pocket costs, for individuals, both older Pennsylvanians and really all Pennsylvanians, so that they can afford their prescription drugs.
Do you think it's realistic that we might get a cap for that?
That's what we're going to be fighting for, you know, at AARP. With the conversations are there. We do realize that some of these pieces that we're looking at are more realistic than others. But you know, we're going to go for it all because we can't afford this constant increase. The annual cost of a brand name drug in 2006 was a little under $2,000. In 2017, it was a little under $7,000. Wow. And that short span has gone up so much, and we just can't continue to do that and have people expected to continue to live on their own and be able to pay these prices.
By the way, this bulk buying of drugs has worked before. If I recall correctly, didn't the VA, the Veterans Administration, work out a deal on that some years ago?
That's exactly right, and that's the part we don't understand, how the Veterans Administration was able to do it, and they've been doing a fine job there. But Medicare is blocked from negotiating prices, and they've been blocked from trying to be able to buy in bulk like this. And so at the federal level, that's one of the things that we're doing, and we'd like to see the same thing here in Pennsylvania at the state level. Because, again, we see over and over again that when you do that, you get to bring the prices down for consumers.
Final question, Bill. What can concerned citizens do if they're worried about these issues?
Well, again, AARP is going to continue to fight, and we'd love for all Pennsylvanians to be able to join us in that fight, you know, contact their legislators. But more importantly, when they go into the doctor's office or talk to their pharmacist, talk to them about, like, if they're prescribed a brand drug, see if there's a generic. See if there's a generic that will do the same thing but at a lower cost to them and to the insurance company. That will help across the board. And then also, if education is very important to AARP and to our members. So we have a website, aarp.org/rx, that really will answer any of the key questions that come up and then also let people know how they can help in fighting for lower drug prices across Pennsylvania and across the country.
Well, AARP has a lot of influence. They carry a lot of weight, so hopefully you'll be able to do something. Bill Johnston.
We hope so.
Bill Johnston Walsh is the state director for